Imagine loving your life after 50 and feeling energized and excited about your future. Welcome to the Women in the Middle podcast, the podcast for women who are ready to figure out what they want and create the life they deserve. Here's your host and master certified life coach, Susie Rosenstein.
Hey there. Today we're talking about infertility and being free to conceive in midlife with Dawn Williams. Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast, Women in the Middle, with over a million downloads and counting. I'm your host, Susie Rosenstein, your Master Certified Coach and Midlife Mentor, and I am so glad to be here with you again. Now, today's episode starts out about infertility, but you'll soon see that the interview is also about so much more. It's also about how my guest learned how to be truly authentic and own her worth through doing so much inner work as a result of not enjoying the parenting journey. The very thing that she had fought for with everything she had so she could experience it in her life. So we're going to get going, but just quick, I want to make sure you know about my new podcast, my sister podcast to the Women in the Middle podcast. It's called Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, and it's all about the reality of running a business after 50. Sound like something you might like? You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, your favorite podcast apps, or of course, on my website, www.susierosenstein.com. Okay, now let's dive in. Today's episode is about infertility and becoming free to conceive in midlife with Dawn Williams. Dawn is a mom, author, and fertility guide who is passionate about helping women who are longing to conceive. Also known as your fertility angel, she will help you find inner peace on your path to motherhood. Dawn knows the pains and sorrows and challenges of the conception journey firsthand. Her exclusive 5-point superstar method to overcoming fertility challenges considers more than just the physical reasons that impede conception. In particular, Dawn will help you bring your mind, body, and spirit back into alignment to create the ideal conditions for conception and motherhood to flourish. Her compassionate approach will allow you to transform your relationship with fertility and achieve lasting lightness and joy. Dawn is praised for her loving and comforting style of women's wellness coaching that mixes the practical with the spiritual. Dawn also believes extraordinary life emerges when we step into our true selves. She has a master's degree in counseling psychology and is a certified love and authenticity practitioner. Dawn lives with her beloved husband, daughter, and 3 dogs in eastern Pennsylvania. She has a ravenous appetite for the field of personal development and also enjoys playing tennis and acrylic painting. I know you're going to really enjoy meeting Dawn, and you will get a lot of information from this interview. Please enjoy. Hi, Dawn. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Women in the Middle podcast.
Oh, hi, Susie. It's so great to be with you today. I'm excited.
Me too. I love meeting people in all the weird online ways that we meet. And we met in a Facebook group that hooked up podcasters with podcast guests, which is awesome. And of course, the other thing that's so fun about the two of us, we just discovered that we grew up and I grew up in a place very close to you. So you're also from a suburb of Philadelphia and I'm from Lansdale, Pennsylvania, which is also a suburb. So that was super cool. Fun. Pennsylvania girls are on the podcast today. Okay. So I was very excited to talk to you about your story, because it happens to so many women. And, you know, it's one of those things where I just don't think it's talked about enough. So let's get you started. If you could tell us a little bit about what was going on in your 40s and just explain your story, and that it'll just naturally, we'll just tell the whole story.
Okay, sure. So in my 40s, I would have to say in my 40s have been quite magical in many ways, but some of it was good and some of it was not so good. But a great learning year for me, learning decade, I should say. In my 40s, let's just say when I was 37, I was in a second marriage with my then husband. And he was also in a marriage where he was married previously before too. And it was a second marriage for both of us. He was not able to have children in his first marriage. I was not able to have children in my first marriage. I was able to, let's just say, but my husband at that time basically admitted that he didn't want children. And my husband that I married when I was 37, his wife at that time was not able to physically bear a child because it would put her health at risk. So we came into our marriage together. Now, keep in mind, I'm 37 years old. My husband is 15 years my senior. So, you know, there's quite an age gap there as us going into reproductive ages at that state of our lives. So, of course, we wanted to get going right from the get-go here and see if we could make things happen. We had both been diagnosed with infertility right in the beginning. Hmm. Typically, when you're trying to conceive and, you know, you're not protecting and you're trying to conceive a baby, they want you to be tested about a year after you're, you know, not meeting with success. But in our case, because of our ages, it's after 6 months. So I was tested. He was tested. We were both found to have high levels of infertility. Mine was something called high FSH, which is your follicle stimulating hormone, which basically equated to, you know, the eggs that I had were much more advanced and matured than they should be for someone my age. And I was approaching menopause quickly. Hmm. And then his was many sperm issues. So the sperm content was very low. There were abnormally shaped sperm and the motility or speed of the sperm was very slow. So they basically gave us a 1-2% chance of ever conceiving naturally. And, you know, all I can say is this is really, you know, it was very devastating for me having known that I basically lost my prime fertility years with my first marriage. And then now in this marriage, you know, I have someone who is very willing and wants to be a father. And this is the state that we're in. Thankfully, he was a very supportive husband, is a very supportive husband. And he was like, well, let's do whatever we need to do. They basically recommended go right to in vitro. We chose to do IUI first, which is intrauterine insemination, only because it's less invasive, it's less expensive. We've never tried anything like this before. Maybe it'll work for us. Well, we went through three of those, no success. And, you know, the roller coaster ride of emotions through all of that is something for another private discussion, maybe on infertility. They were unsuccessful. We ended up going through in vitro as well. I barely met the criteria to do in vitro. You have to have 4 egg follicles. And I barely met the 4. Typically, they want 10 or more because then that gives you many opportunities for fertilization and transferring of embryos and that sort. But I was barely meeting the criteria. Then when they did the egg retrieval, there were only 3 eggs out of the 4 follicles. Still was hopeful, right? Because you've got 3 eggs and the embryologist was like, okay, well, we've got, you know, 3 eggs here. We've got 3 good sperm. We're hopeful that, you know, we're going to see what we want to see. I was working as an elementary school counselor at the time. And I remember so vividly that day, her calling me up the next day after our procedure happened. And she said, I'm so sorry, but none of the eggs would fertilize. And I just remember, like, it was like death to me because I thought, if science can't get the perfect egg and sperm to fertilize, how is this ever going to happen for us naturally? Like, the distraught level and just the hopelessness just set in such a huge way. And, you know, anybody who's going through infertility pretty much knows that every time you get your period, you know, every time, you know, another failed procedure takes place, you go through all the losses that are accompanied with that, you know, that you're not going to, you know, have that positive pregnancy test. You're not going to ever have that ultrasound and hear the baby's heartbeat. You're not going to get to hear it's a boy, it's a girl. And they put the baby, like, you go through all the losses every time you don't have a pregnancy or a pregnancy that sticks. So at that point, my husband really just wanted to, you know, continue trying on our own because he felt like we were putting all our eggs in one. So to say, all our eggs in one basket and all our money on a roulette wheel, that are we just taking a chance here? And he said, let's just try on our own for a while, even though they were recommending we go with an egg donor at that point. Mm-hmm. We just felt personally that, you know, either we wanted the child to be 100% genetically ours or not at all. And that was just kind of where we stood everybody has kind of their own path with that, but that's the path we took. So to kind of keep this concise, it was a 6-year long infertility struggle. At that point, it was probably about 2 years into it. And my husband, like I said, wanted to try naturally. So amongst the gamut that we ran was we did acupuncture. We had prayer groups praying for us. So we were really faith-based people that were trying to, you know, see if we could surround ourselves with prayer warriors. And we also did a health and wellness program that was by a naturopathic doctor who had gotten multiple couples pregnant, because they're basically, you know, working on your internal system, your health, and, you know, making sure that the nutrients are there and you're doing your body well. We did 3.5 years of that, Susie, traveling to Maryland once or twice a month, back and forth. And the program was intense. I mean, it was like, you could not have it. All foods had to be organic. There was no alcohol, no sugar, no processed foods, you know, no caffeine, no alcohol. I mean, and you had to take homeopathic medications, and you had different dosing schedules and times of intervals when you could take it. Not, it was overwhelming. 3.5 years, no baby.
Just on no coffee.
Exactly. And no alcohol to help me through it. Like, come on, I do like my lemon drop martinis, right? So none of those. And, that's the thing, you're doing everything you can. But here's the thing. So at one point, I had gone through, and this is what I think, and this may be helpful for a lot of viewers with whatever struggles you might be going through, is I was not at a point, because I had many people say, well, why don't you just adopt? Hurtful in and of itself, honestly, because, you know, it's not just adopt, like it's just a, you know, second choice. Like it's such an important decision. I was not able to for a couple of years. And once I had a really strong grief release and came to acceptance with my infertility, because up until that point, I had not truly accepted that this would maybe be my destiny, that I was not going to be able to conceive a child. I was fighting against it, big resistance, and stressing myself out to the max. Yeah. But once I finally, I had a good friend of mine who just let me cry in her arms and just totally release. I sobbed. She did nothing and just hold me and let me release it. And it was interesting, because once that happened, I was able to decide for myself and say, is it more important for me to be a mother with my own child that I conceive, or is it more important for me to be a mom, period? And up until that point, I was not ready to say, yes, I'm willing and ready to adopt. And I was.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So I made that decision, but here's the kicker. My husband wasn't there. So he was like, I'm not saying it's a no, he said, but I just don't feel, I feel like we should just try on our own first, because it's a big decision to make and it's very expensive and it's got its own roller coaster ride of emotions attached. So my prayer groups changed their prayer, Susie, to let's pray for Tom's heart to change towards adoption. So another example of having to have strong faith. I didn't bug him. I didn't check in on him and say, did you change your mind yet? Are you ready? You know, I let him be him, me be me. We did our lives. I trusted. And 2 years later, so it wasn't like 2 months later, it was 2 years later, I came home one day and he was sitting on his laptop. Well, he was sitting on his laptop. He was holding his laptop computer. And he said, I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm looking up how to adopt babies from Colombia. And I said, wow, is this like serious? You're not joking about this, right? And he said, no, he said, I see you around your nephew, Dante. And he said, you have to be a mother. You have so much love to give. And I want to be a dad. And this is what's right for us. So that's what we did. Then we ended up pursuing adoption. So at 43 years old, we ended up, you know, and I won't go into all those details because it takes quite a bit of time, but we ended up adopting a newborn from Texas, and we got as close to having our own baby as possible because we were there for the delivery. My husband got to cut the umbilical cord, and she is now almost 13 years old. So quite a bit of time has gone by, and we had to name her Faith, Susie, because of, you know, the journey. It was definitely a faith journey. But when you also talk about where I was in my 40s, So, you know, the length of time and the passion to have a baby, I just assumed, don't we do this sometimes, Susie? Like you have the vision in your mind and you just assume things are going to be great. Like it was so hard for me to become a mom. I'm a school counselor. I'm going to be great at being a mom. I'm not going to have trouble. My baby's going to be easy. Like, you know, like I did the pain. I did the struggle. The rest should go easy for me.
Oh, yeah.
It was far from that. Because now when you think about it, 43, when we had her in our lives as a newborn, by 45, I was in the throes of menopause. So all of that, I truly feel that I had one of the worst menopause experiences.
Oh, boy.
Yes. I mean, every possible symptom that you could go through, I had.
Tell me some of the symptoms, because menopause comes up so much, obviously, on a podcast like this. Mm-hmm. And as many symptoms as there are, everybody's experience is so different. So what was mm-hmm. it like for you? Did you even yeah. know what those symptoms were at the beginning? Most of the people I know were very confused.
Yeah. Well, I was only tipped off because I was also told my FSH was high and I would be hitting it soon. Secondly, I had a cyst on an ovary and I had to have an ovary removed. And oftentimes that can kick you into early menopause. So when I started to have a lot of symptoms, I may not have noticed like immediately, but then it started to like make sense. So at 45 years old, I was getting all of the hot flashes. So it was multiple times during the day. And when I would get the hot flashes, I would have racing heartbeats, profuse of sweat, and nausea with it. Like it was, and it would last maybe 2 to 3 minutes and then it would be gone, but it would be multiple times a day. And it's, if you've never had one of those hot sweats, those horrible things, you know that it's got to be menopause because you've never had that before. I would say earlier on, it started happening at night first. Like I would just wake up really hot at night. And I just thought, maybe I'm just not feeling well or something. But when it started happening during the day, that was pretty much a clincher. I had trouble sleeping at night. I was never a person who had trouble sleeping at night. I would pretty much fall asleep, you know, within 10 minutes of going to bed. I would toss and turn for an hour. And just this unsettled feeling that I could not describe, that I would just kind of like an unsettled feeling within myself that didn't make sense. Extreme irritability, like just couldn't stand myself. I don't know how you like can describe that, but like I couldn't stand myself. That's how I felt.
Plus you had a little kid.
Right. Plus I had a little one. And then I also know that, you know, menopause, if that's the start of it at 45, it can go on until 10 years or more sometimes. So yes, at that point, she was like 2 years old. So she was in that tough stage and we're older parents. So there's good and bad that comes with that. Right. So, and then what else? Oh, I'd start to get, depressive episodes as well. And, the depressive episodes didn't have any rhyme or reason to them, but I would wake up in the morning, not having great sleep, you know, having the night sweats, the hot sweats during the day, and just the irritability and the stress of being a mom, where she was also a very strong-willed, challenging child. So she was not what I would say I was as a child, or my husband was when he would describe how he was a child. We were very compliant. I'm the people pleaser. I don't like to do anything wrong. You know, like she always was that, where she pushes the buttons.
So you mentioned in your notes that you started to feel incompetent as a parent with all of that going on and her strong will.
I really did. And honestly, when that started to go on for up until she was 6 years old, so you're talking, you know, like I was in the throes of menopause at that point. And I felt like we would, you know, butt heads many, many times. And I was doing the majority of the parenting, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom. And I just felt like, you know, she wasn't listening to me. And if I couldn't make her happy, if I couldn't get her to be compliant, then I could, that means I'm not a good mom. That's how I internalized it. I'm not good at this. What's the point of this? I don't understand this. Like, I was given this child. Maybe that's why I couldn't get pregnant. I started to go back into circles like that. Like, maybe that's why God never gave me a baby conceptually. And I just kept pushing it farther and look, this is what happened. And, so it was quite a down spiral that I was in.
You used it against yourself.
I did. I really did. And I ended up going to my gynecologist, and you know, when they ask you the questions in the beginning, like, you know, have you had any depressive episodes? I was answering some of those, and I remember going to the bathroom because they, you know, have you do that before the exam. And I just stood in front of the mirror and I just was crying. I was like, they're asking me these questions and I'm saying I'm depressed. I have my dream that I wanted, but I don't feel good at my dream. And what is the purpose of my life then at this point? Like, I just felt like I have everything I want. I have a great husband. I have a great home. And here I feel like this, I felt like the feelings weren't something I could control. And there's a piece of that with hormones. There definitely is. So we ended up pursuing like the pellets. I don't know if anybody's ever tried the pellets.
I haven't.
No. I heard wonderful things about the pellets, where they insert these pellets that are, they have to test your hormones, and then they find the right combination of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, and they insert the pellets, and it's supposed to do great things. I did notice positives with it, but the negative was that I was getting my period every 15 days.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was not yet another fit for me. So that had to be discontinued. So let's just say where my turning point was, is I had to be a searcher of personal growth more than I ever had before, because I tend to be someone who is definitely solution oriented. And all that questioning that I do to myself, where I was hard on myself, is also the benefit that I question myself, like, this, how do I make this different? How do I make
this? Well, it's interesting because, you know, you don't have to, but you do. And so not everybody would really stay focused on a solution and be as aggressive as you were about what to do to make things better. Not everybody thinks about things the same way, right? But it's interesting to note that you did know that about yourself. So at some point it was like, okay, let's get to work.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It just tends to be my personality. So I am grateful that that piece took me on that trajectory, because what ended up happening is I went on a journey of how can I improve this parenting relationship? Because that's not what I dreamed of for my child and I to have. I enjoyed her so much, and I loved her, and I wanted to be the best parent I could be. And I tell you what, I feel like God just put the right people in my path, the right summits, the right coaches. And I was on my way, and it was nice. I was seeing success. I was making changes in my parenting. Our whole relationship changed. I mean, I found someone on Facebook who also did the coaching certification that you did, Susie, through Brooke. She was my first person because she was doing parenting boot camps for free on Facebook. And I linked up with her, and she basically taught me, you know, and she was a school counselor, by the way. she basically taught me, you know, how do you not yell at your child? Like, how do you get them to comply and not yell at your child? Because that's what I was doing. And I'm raising my voice, and she's strong-willed, so she's coming back. And I'm thinking, that's not what you do. You respect your parents. You don't yell back at them, you know? So it was that kind of thing. But that journey of self-growth is what took me through changing and transforming my relationship with her as a parent, bringing my self-confidence back in myself. And it got me to thinking that we're talking now, like I said, faith is 13 years almost. So that's 13 years past the infertility journey that I took. My idea was, I have all of this wisdom from all of these wonderful mentors and experts in my life, and there's so many people who are probably in a similar position as me. I felt like I was doing a disservice by holding onto it so tightly. Like, I felt like I had some secrets to life, you know? And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a book on parenting, and I'm going to let them see it from my perspective and see how they can relate to it in a similar way, but as it relates to their own personal life, and maybe use some of the tools and insights that I've gained through that time. And I thought, well, let me make the first chapter of it be on infertility.
Oh, that, okay. No. So interesting. Now I want to just go back to one thing you said, because, not everybody understands what's available in self-development on mm-hmm. Facebook and online. There's so much available that's free.
Absolutely.
And you can start on, you know, whatever favorite platform you have. Mm-hmm. It might be Instagram. It might be Facebook. For me, it's Facebook.
Me too.
And for a lot of women our age, it's Facebook. Mm-hmm. And just start searching the words you're interested in, and also on Google. But mm-hmm. Google, you'll be led to things. You can find books and things like that. But, the community element where you really are able to have some conversations with people, mm-hmm. Facebook's a great place for that. So you mentioned summits, and I don't know if everybody knows what that is, but it's something mm-hmm. that you can just sit at home with your phone or your computer, like whatever, and you sign up and you get a bunch of experts talking about a topic that you are interested in over a period of days. And mm-hmm. you can get involved in it at different levels. You can pay a little bit of money and get replays typically. But basically you're getting experts speaking to you about something that you want in a contained, like in a container of right. a couple of days where it's the same link and blah, blah, blah. And this type of thing can be very, very useful. Plus you mentioned books. A lot of these experts will mention tools, and there's also some tools and quizzes and interactive forms and coaches, and there's all kinds of stuff that's available. Mm-hmm. And some groups are exactly what you're looking for and a place to connect with people. So if you haven't explored this type of thing, it's great. It's great. And I was delighted to see that you just took the bull by the horns and you're like, let's just get going on this and let's learn some things.
Yeah.
And then the next phase was so simple for you. It's like, okay, now I know all this stuff. I've kind of become an expert at least telling my story and being extremely resourceful and trying some things that actually worked. Because, you know, when you started, you were so unhappy. You felt worthless, unmotivated. Like, I'm looking at some of the things you wrote in your application to be on the podcast, and you were really questioning, what's going on here? Is this all there is? Which is a very common question in midlife. But for you, you had the added wrinkle of these hopes and dreams about being a mother that went mm-hmm. through so many phases. And you had longed to be a good mom, and you were struggling with that role now, felt so inadequate. Like, it's really not what you thought life was going to be like. And
exactly.
I can totally appreciate that. And I'm sure if you're listening, you can appreciate that in some part of your life. When you have an expectation, you've thought about it for a very long time, mm-hmm. and then it's not what you thought it was. But you got through that. So tell me what it was like for you to think about putting yourself out there in book format and starting the story with infertility.
Yeah. Well, you know, having read so many books, there are times where I would put myself in the place of the author and just be like, I wonder if I could do that. You know, like I mean, I never considered myself to be a writer. I wasn't writing blogs and I wasn't writing magazine articles or anything like that, but I would write Facebook posts, and, you know, I had a knack for writing. I could express myself well in writing. So I would read the books and I thought, you know, what if they never did this? What if they had the idea to write this book and then they held themselves back? None of us would have benefited from their wisdom and their knowledge and their tools and their insights and their life experience. So, you know, why not me? Why not me pay it forward? You know, and what, like, everybody's met the things that I would hear on different summits was, yeah, you may think, you know, if you do this, everybody's doing it. Why do they need one more person to talk about, you know, self-love? Or why do they need one more person, you know, to talk about business strategies or whatever it might be that you're interested in? But there's you, and there's only one you. So your uniqueness, your resources that you have, your personality, your life experiences that you've had, all of the ways that you see things from your perspective, your way of communicating and putting that out in the world can be the one message that that person out there that you're going to help needed to hear. The only the way that you could say it, the only the way that you could deliver it.
Dawn, I'm so glad you shared that, because that is so true. One time I developed a whole speech at an event about that. Because when you look around and you're like, well, there's so many people talking about infertility, or there's so many people talking about midlife, but your secret sauce is the combination of your experience, your voice, something that happened to you 20 years ago, 15 years ago, your stories, they all blend to make your story unique. And you're absolutely right. And it's an adult learning principle that we have to hear things from different points, perspectives, venues, and not everything's going to land.
Right.
But for you to be able to give the gift of sharing and authenticity, and for it to land, and for you to help one woman change her life, her perspective, her experience with her child, it's like, what's more important than that?
Exactly.
It's a miracle, because it's not easy to be heard. But when that message lands, it's amazing. And people feel so grateful when their life is changed. And they had some kind of a message that landed. It's really beautiful. I totally hear what you're saying. And I'm really glad that you had that realization, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to write this book and I'm going to make it focus on parenting. And I kind of had it from the perspective of, you know, because I would often think to myself, now that I have this knowledge, wouldn't it be great if I could start my parenting journey over? You know what I mean? That was the thought that I had. Like, now that I know all of this and know what
it's over.
I kind of thought, well, why not make, I could call the book, you know, like blank slate, like, you know, blank slate parenting or something like that. And I just wanted to say in the beginning of the book how I became a parent. So I figured, oh, maybe the first chapter or so will just be on the infertility. Well, what ended up happening was I started to come into like planning the book and writing the infertility chapter, and it became a book of its own. Because what ended up happening is, as I started to write down, and this often happens when you take things from thought to paper, you know, when I started to write down, I started to connect dots and make connections to things and thought, wow, what I'm actually going to share in this book about parenting, I can actually apply to infertility. And I can make those that are struggling to become moms and have that longing like I desired so strongly, I can help their experience go so much better than mine did. I can actually do the things, I can put the things in the book that I wish I would have done back then that I may have actually conceived. I truly believe that I may have actually conceived if I did those things. And that they're going to experience the journey with more peace, more empowerment, a whole different perspective on what their infertility can mean for them in their life. So that's where the shift took place. And now the book became not one on parenting, which may be book number two, but for now, the infertility is the focus of this book. And that's what I did. I ended up using all of the wisdom and knowledge I had and put together an approach that when the women follow this approach, they are creating the ideal conditions for conception to occur and for them to follow their path of motherhood that's right for them, and to basically identify and minimize the barriers that are getting in the way. So what's the book called? I'm going to show it to you. It's called Free to Conceive. So it's free to conceive. And where the freedom comes in is as they start to identify through the approach that I have, the barriers that are getting in the way, and they start releasing them and removing them, they're freeing themselves to be open and being able to receive the dream that they have for themselves in their life.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I know you have a 5-point superstar approach. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to make it simple, and I want to be something tangible for people that they can use this, whether it's infertility, you can use this in any challenging life circumstance. So I've found that people who have read the book, you know, because some of them are family and friends of mine, and they're like, wow, I've had children. I didn't know if I was going to get anything out of your book. And they said, oh my gosh, I can use the star approach that you have to help me in my life in general. So the star is basically you want to use the star to answer the question for yourself, what's getting in the way of what I want? And each point of the star signifies one particular area. So they all start with the letter S to make it simple. One S stands for story, which is the story that we tell ourselves and about our life. So it's our mindset, our self-talk, all of that. And, you know, that plays a big role on how our life turns out. You know,
it's a huge role because a lot of us aren't even aware of what that narrative is. And all of those thoughts, which that's what a story is, a bunch of thoughts.
Exactly.
They're all creating feelings. And that feeling state is what is driving you to do stuff. So 100% lack of awareness of our own story and our own limiting beliefs, it's critical.
And like you said, we aren't always aware of it. We just kind of are on autopilot with what our patterns are typically used to being. And what's nice is in the book, I'll have some reflective questions. You're able to relate to what I'm describing about story as I'm relating it to infertility, and you can relate it to your own personal experience and start to self-reflect so that maybe you can start to pay attention to that story and how to shift it. There's plenty of examples on how to shift that story. And then the other point of the star is state, which you kind of just referred to, Susie, is our emotional state. So the way that we feel, you know, and we have patterns of feeling certain ways, those affect how, you know, our life goes, the decisions that we make, the actions that we take, the attitudes that we have. And sometimes they are patterns of emotion that have been there for a long time. I mentioned earlier that I had that grief that had to be released. And that is a big area that I touch upon in the state chapter. Unforgiveness that we may have in our hearts when we're holding on to that unforgiveness. It's really hard to have that level of energy frequency in your body that's going to be most receptive to the miracles that we want to have happen in our life. So that's state. And then another one is surrender. So being able to, you know, not force things to be the way that we want them to be, or when they aren't the way that we want them to be, not being able to accept it and just know and have a trusting in the God of your understanding, in life itself, that it's really working for our good. And it's hard to do that a lot of times. It's really hard to surrender. So there's a whole chapter on that. The other pieces of the star is called self. And I truly, truly believe that when we do not have the level of self-worth and don't value ourselves in the way that we really need to value ourselves and know who we are as the importance that we are in this life, if we're here, we are important and we matter and we're significant. And if we don't know that about ourselves, that dramatically affects our story that we tell ourselves, right? And the beliefs that we hold. And then the last one is strategy. So now that you know all of these points of the star, what are the decisions and the action steps that you should take based on what you know was getting in the way? What's going to help you the most? And so I guide you through all those steps of the star.
That's great. And what would you say is a couple of the big life lessons you learned from your whole experience of really having that infertility struggle and then making a family decision to adopt and then having your experience as a mom being challenging in ways that you didn't quite expect and then working hard to figure it all out and now to give back in the form of a book? What are a couple of your life lessons?
Yeah. You know, I have to say one of the biggest ones for me is learning how to surrender. That one is really big for me. So if any of you do struggle with that, like I have in my mind so often the way I think things should be, you know, the should in air quotes here, like I should be a mom. I should have an easier child. I should, you know, have people who are on my side. I should, you know, all the shoulds that we do to ourselves, but that's not reality since we can't control anybody else. We can't control often the circumstances that are placed in our lives, but we can, we do need to recognize what we have power over. And I think that was one of my biggest lessons is I didn't always realize what I had control over. And that's what I really wanted to teach in the book is we have more control than we realize. But also in the midst of having the control over the things that are within ourselves that we can control, you have to start to be comfortable with uncertainty.
Yes.
You know, and the uncertainty of will I get pregnant? Will I ever get pregnant? When will this menopause end? Will I ever figure out what I want to do in my life? What is my purpose? Not knowing that sometimes drives us crazy and increases our stress level, but to learn that, you know what? Life is on our side. And if we can have trust in that, and you know, some people have different perspectives of what their faith is, and that's fine. There's, you know, there's no right or wrong with that either. But if you can just release into that and know it, life's on my side.
Yeah. The way I talk about that is this idea that you're already on the right path, but you can imagine that when you were dealing with infertility, it didn't feel like you were on the right path. You didn't think that at all, but I've seen time and time again that once we get things sorted and we're on the other side of stuck, which is very hard to imagine sometimes, but when you're on the other side of that midlife stuckness, you can see that you were absolutely on the right path. The way you're giving back now to be able to reflect on the challenges that you had gave you the content for this book. And now you're able to help other people.
I know. It's so funny that you mentioned that, because I will often think that. And I say that in the book. I'm like, in this struggling time that you're experiencing, there is a gift in it. There is an opportunity for you. It's so hard to see it in that moment. But just like you said, at that time, I would have never thought I would have been thankful for for the gift of infertility. Like, are you crazy? Like, this pain is tormenting. Like, there's nothing I could experience like this. But now I can utilize that experience and know down the line when I have another challenging experience, I just can't see the forest through the trees at this point. You know, like there will be something good that comes from this. There's some more of me that's trying to come out and develop because of this, and look what came out for me. Like the amount of growth in myself that happened because of infertility and now can be utilized to share with others and help them grow. To me, it was worth the pain that I went through with infertility.
It's so interesting how life works out. And the other thing you mentioned is uncertainty. You know, we like to think that things should be certain. And I would say until COVID, COVID was a giant lesson in uncertainty, but many believed it. I think COVID shook that up a little bit, but we kind of think we're entitled to certainty and nothing's certain. There's like almost nothing that's certain except that we will die someday. That is certain.
Exactly.
But we really want to believe that there's certainty, and that certainty will give us peace. And it's one of those things that it's like one of those fundamental beliefs that doesn't serve most of us.
You're right. We're kind of deluded by the fact that we think that there is certainty when really there isn't.
Well, Dawn, thank you so much. How can people get a hold of that book?
Oh, yes. Well, it is available on Amazon. And again, the title is Free to Conceive. And I have a website. It's called yourfertilityangel.com. So, you know, people can find me there, learn about what I offer as levels of support. And the book can also be purchased off of the link, because it'll get you directly to Amazon as well.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story and how difficult it was and what you've been able to do with all of your experience and give back this way. I really love that you were, that you're a voice on this podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to be able to share and help others.
Okay. That's it for this episode. I hope you got a lot out of this interview. I know I did. That's one of the reasons I love my job so much. I get to meet the most amazing people. Dawn made some excellent points about how important it really is to understand what you have control over in life. There are definitely things you can do, ways you can show up, things you can research, but ultimately there are things we can't control. Getting this straight can really help you. And the topic of certainty, oh my God, how much we crave it. I can't even tell you how often I end up coaching on this topic. Wanting certainty can create so much pain. Yet, we crave it like crazy, like we really want it. We believe it's possible to have certainty. Like what we want should be wrapped up in a bow and then we call it a day. Wouldn't that be great? But life is just not like that. And I think hearing from Dawn and her perspective really illustrates all of this. I am so grateful that the internet world brought us together and I could share her story and her resources with you. So good. Okay, that is it for this episode. As you know, my focus as your midlife coach is to help you get unstuck, clear, and excited about your life again. It is super important to learn to think on purpose. It changes everything for you. So ask yourself, are you ready to do this? Do you know how to do this? Because if you are, I am all in to help you. Seriously, if you're ready to change your life and learn the skills to unstick yourself with some masterful coaching, a top-notch curriculum, an infusion of creativity, and a warm, fun, and awesome community of like-minded women, let's talk about it. I would love to be able to help you get unstuck and be happier and more clear about what you want than ever before. Go ahead and book your momentum call at www.womeninthemiddleacademy.com and we will chat. For show notes and links, head over to www.susierosenstein.com and click the podcast tab and look for episode 347 on Women in the Middle. You'll also see links there for the new show, Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, which is also on iTunes, your favorite podcast apps, and on my website. Thanks so much for listening. It's time for you to put yourself first, one thought at a time. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you next week.